The 16th century is sometimes classified as the age of the queen. In her latest book, Rival Queens, Catherine de' Medici, her daughter Marguerite de Valois, and the betrayal that ignited a kingdom, Nancy Goldstone writes, "In no other period in European history did a handful of seemingly indomitable women exercise such extensive sovereign power over so wide a dominion for so many years." Her book is published by Little Brown. I'm very pleased it has brought Nancy Goldstone to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
During the 16th century, there were several powerful women on the thrones of England, Scotland, France. Were there certain conditions that made that sort of thing possible?
Well, I think it was individual to each kingdom. Elizabeth I obviously got to the throne at almost the same time as Catherine de' Medici, because Elizabeth I came in 1558, and Catherine de' Medici, who was the wife of Henri II, King of France, and when he died in 1559, she took over as regent for her son, Charles IX, who was only 10, couldn't rule for himself. So she's on from 1560, and Catherine stayed on almost until her death in 1589, and Elizabeth stayed on all the way to 1603. I mean, you couldn't always expect to live that long.
I can't think of anything like that happening since, other than perhaps Catherine the Great.
Oh, I would have to. Maria Theresa probably was a good one there.
In a chapter you've called The Queen, My Mother, you begin with a quotation from Niccolo Machiavelli's The Prince. "Fortune is the ruler of half our actions, but she allows the other half, or a little less, to be governed by us." How is that relevant to understanding Catherine de' Medici?
Well, Catherine de' Medici was part of her rule was that she came to the throne through the circumstance that her husband died young at 40 in a jousting accident when a lance went through his eye. But she didn't have to be regent. She chose it. She picked it. So that was one way that worked.
Well, who decided that Catherine should even marry Henri? He was the second son of King Francois I.
Right.
So he wasn't even first in line.
No, he wasn't. And if he had been first in line, he would never have been married Catherine de' Medici, because she was a Medici and she was not royal. They were kind of parvenus, the Medicis. They had a lot. I think of them as hedge fund money. But they didn't come from. They came from the merchant class. But she had a big dowry, so that's why.
And that dowry included considerable territory, a half dozen cities in Italy, including Pisa. Also a promise to help King Francois I take back Milan. Did the Italians know that so much territory was being given to France?
No, it was the Pope. The Pope was promising this help. They were trying to rein in the Emperor Charles V, who had a lot of territory.
Her uncle was the Pope.
He was a cousin by this time. Her first time was an uncle. They had a number of popes in the Medici family, bought that papacy pretty well. So the Pope arranged, this was part of a territorial deal. It wasn't a love match by any means.
And you say she arrived in France at the age of 14, unloved and disdained. You say that Henri thought of her as meek and plain, almost an afterthought. He didn't really get who she was?
Oh, he didn't want to have anything to do with her. He was very much in love with a beautiful courtesan, the most beautiful courtesan at the court, Diane de Poitiers, 19 years his senior, very experienced woman. And Catherine was kind of meek and not attractive. And this was a huge love affair in France. This is Romeo and Juliet in France.
Diane de Poitiers is subject of a lot of great art.
Yes.
He loved having her portrait painted. What about Catherine? Do we know much about how she looked?
Well, we know that she was short because she was the first woman to wear high heels, reputedly, because they wanted to make her a little taller at her wedding. And she was not particularly attractive, but mostly it was that she lost her dowry 6 months into her marriage because the Pope died, her cousin the Pope died, and a new Pope came on and just completely reneged, and she was nothing.
And her mother had come with her, but she died At an early age. Her mother?
No, her mother didn't come. Her mother died. Catherine was orphaned.
Her mother died at 17.
Yeah, Catherine was orphaned right at birth, basically.
And her mother, it was rumored that she had been given syphilis by her husband?
That was the rumor, but I think it was that was a little too quick. But her husband, her father, Catherine's father definitely died of venereal disease.
So Catherine is 14 when she marries Henri. How soon does she start showing her abilities as a clever, scheming royal?
Not at all for the whole length of her marriage, because the thing that was so amazing about Catherine was that she did not want to be shipped. She could not get pregnant. So it took almost 10 years for her to have her first child. And the aristocracy in France, once her husband, Henri, his elder brother, died and he became next in line to the throne, they wanted an heir. And it didn't look like Catherine could provide it. So they were trying to get rid of her. And so she became almost the Uriah Heep of the 16th century. She got so meek and so nice, and she had to, she pandered to Diane de Poitiers, who amazingly took her under her wing, because Diane didn't want another new, young, beautiful wife. She wanted this meek little nothing that was... So Catherine spent her entire married life in a court off to the side by herself, surrounded by Italians, and not having really anything to do with the government. And it wasn't until her husband died that she showed herself to be someone who could take over.
Her wedding had lasted 5 days, which is in sharp contrast to what she did for her daughter when her daughter got married.
Well, her daughter had a lot of celebration for her wedding, and then it turned. Her Marguerite was her youngest daughter, and Marguerite is, you know her at all if you know her, as the title character of the much-beloved, wildly popular, classic Alexandre Dumas novel, La Reine Margot, because her childhood name was Margot.
And there's been a movie made.
And there was a beautiful Isabella Gianni playing. That was 15 or 20 years ago, though. But
so she was known as Margot?
Margot. And she's famous in France because when she was 19, her mother and her elder brother, Charles IX, who was the king, forced her to marry her 18-year-old cousin, Henry, King of Navarre. And she objected to that marriage because she was a devout Catholic and he was the head of the Protestants in France, who were known as the Huguenots. And she thought that if she married him, she would be forced to convert, and then her soul would be consigned to the everlasting flames of hell when she was trying to avoid that situation. But the marriage went through anyway, because teenage princesses do not have a lot of say in these things, and the whole wedding was built all over Europe by Catherine and Charles IX as a way to bring peace and toleration to the kingdom. And of course, this beautiful vision goes right out the window 3 days after the wedding, when every Huguenot guest that came was hunted down and murdered in the streets of Paris in an episode which is today is infamous and is known as the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre.
My guest is Nancy Goldstone, whose latest book is The Rival Queens, Catherine de' Medici, Her Daughter, Marguerite de Valois, and the Betrayal That Ignited a Kingdom. Not your first book about queens. You've almost specialized
in
queens.
I'm looking at women in power. I wanted to see what it was like. And if you're going to look at women in power in the Middle Ages, then you want to look at a queen because she has authority.
Now, Margot was born when Henri II was in the middle of a protracted war with the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, but the countries involved represent both Catholics and Protestants. So was there just a lot of war over religion at this point?
There was a civil war going on in France. There was no accident that the wars of religion in France started in the first year of Catherine de' Medici's regency and ended just a few years after her death. See, the problem was that France was then, and is still today pretty much, an overwhelmingly Catholic country. And at the time when Marguerite first married Henry, for example, only about 5% of the population was Protestant, was Huguenot. But they were a very aggressive minority. Huguenots would go into Catholic churches and destroy the relics, and they would destroy anything idolatrous, just like ISIS does today in churches in the Middle East. And in retaliation, the Catholics would go hunt down the Protestants while they were singing their hymns and on the streets. And it got so bad that there was a war. They raised armies against each other.
Now, was Henry of Navarre, was he encouraging this kind of conflict?
Well, he was only 18. I mean, he was only an 18-year-old. You think of him today, when you think about that this massacre happened, he would have been a freshman at his orientation in college. So he wasn't actually running anything. It was his mother and Coligny who was the admiral, his counselor.
These are people who are connected with all sorts of tensions. For example, Margot spent her early years in the company of her future sister-in-law, Mary Stuart.
Yes, Mary Stuart, because Mary Stuart was Catherine de' Medici's eldest son was Francois, and he died very young. But before he died, he married Mary Stuart, and she was Queen of France.
Now, it's interesting that Margot was known as a beauty, considering the fact that her mother wasn't all that physically attractive. But do we have any paintings of her that reveal just how beautiful she was?
Well, we have the painting of her when she was younger. We have a couple of images. You know, times change. And aesthetics change. So she was clearly someone who attracted very many men and was called beautiful by very many people.
She seems to have had fond memories of her father from childhood, but none for her mother.
No, because, her mother was absent from her life basically until her father's death. And even after that, until she got to be about 13 or 14 when she came to court, her mother wasn't even in her life. Until she was 5 years old when her father died, it would have been Diane de Poitiers who kind of took over those motherly duties for her.
A caller wants to know if Elizabeth of Valois was related to Catherine and Margaret.
Yes, Elizabeth was Catherine's eldest daughter, Marguerite's eldest sister, and she had to marry Philip II, king of Spain, and who was much older and much scarier, and she was only 14 when she had to do it. Yes, that's true.
Now, Margot was in love with the son of a very powerful family in France, a Catholic.
Yes, she was in love with the dashing Duke of Guise. He was mowing him down at court. He was very adorable.
But her mother wanted her to marry Henry of Navarre?
She wanted her to marry Henry of Navarre because Henry of Navarre was a Protestant and Elizabeth I was still unmarried. And Catherine very much wanted one of her sons to marry Elizabeth I, even though they were, you know, so much younger than Elizabeth I and Catholic. But the major advisor, Admiral Coligny, was negotiating in England to have Elizabeth marry Henry of Navarre, which would have made a lot of sense because they were both Protestant, and then they would have had a foothold in France, and Catherine had to squelch that, so she married Henry to her daughter Marguerite.
We're talking about global politics. Is there any reason to believe that Margot knew anything about the massacre that was about to take place on her wedding day?
None. She was very clearly a victim as much as... No, she didn't get killed, but she was a dupe, and she felt it all her life. She knew it.
That was the beginning of her own political awakening?
Yes, that was. She came out in opposition to those kinds of policies.
How did she manage to take control of the situation?
Well, the first thing she did, because, you know, she really did not want to marry Henry of Navarre, and she was married to him, and then the massacre occurred. And they offered what her mother had been trying to do was get Henry to convert publicly to Catholicism, which she made him do in the aftermath of the massacre. And then after that, she figured she should probably kill him. And she offered Marguerite an annulment. And Marguerite saved Henry because I think it was because she couldn't have one more death on her from that. And it was a very brave action. And she saved Henry many times over the course of their marriage. And he grows up to be Henry IV, who is... who said Paris is worth a mass, who was a famous king now in France, kind of their Abraham Lincoln. So without her, there's no Abraham Lincoln in France.
Wow. Did Catherine achieve her goal with the massacre?
No. Catherine, she achieved her goal in that she it looked like she was letting, she was taking over, just siding with the Catholics. But the Huguenots, she had actually lost over the course of the previous decade a major city called La Rochelle, which was a battle was going to occur there, where she sent a Catholic army to take over La Rochelle, which was still held by the Huguenots. But then she pulled them away because she wanted to buy her second son the kingship of Poland. So she had to bribe the Poles. So instead of paying her soldiers, she bribed the Poles, made him king of Poland, which he didn't want to be, sent him off, and the Huguenots recovered. So she didn't get anywhere with these goals.
A listener wonders what your opinion is of Rain, the TV show about Mary, Queen of Scots, and Catherine de' Medici.
I haven't seen it. I'm sorry. I kind of spend my time in the library.
Probably, even if it's great, you probably would cringe at the little things that you think they got wrong. Nancy Goldstone is the author of several books, including The Maid and the Queen, The Secret History of Joan of Arc, The Lady Queen, The Notorious Reign of Joanna I, Queen of Naples, Jerusalem and Sicily, Four Queens, the Provençal Sisters Who Ruled Europe. Have I left out any queens? There are other books as well.
Well, but you see, it's a progression. I'm looking at women from the 13th, the Four Queens is in the 13th century. And then I looked, I said, wow, there are all these women, four women in the 13th century, no one's ever heard of them. They really were powerful. And then I said, well, maybe there's somebody else. I looked in the 14th century, there's Joanna. She was amazing. And then in the next century, there was the woman who brought Joan of Arc in.
Food people will tell you that Catherine de' Medici played a major role in French cuisine because she brought sophistication to France.
She also brought famine.
Did she? How?
Because she kept the wars going, and France was... The farmland was ruined. I mean, some over and over in the government reports is how scarce the food is, how high the cost. How some counselor went to the Netherlands and came back and said their farms are going, their food is great. It's kind of like saying, you know, if that President Assad brought a 5-star chef to Syria, okay, well that's great, but you know what else is going on.
The rival queens, Catherine de' Medici, her daughter Marguerite de Valois, and the betrayal that ignited a kingdom. It is published by Little Brown. My great thanks to Nancy Goldstone for being our guest today.
Thank you.